We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For 18 years, I've truly been blessed to be a Pacer and a Hoosier.
You're listening to Setting the Pace, your go-to Pacers podcast with Alex Golden and Michael Facci.
McConnell pushing again, gets underneath, finds Sabonis for the dunk and the foul.
Caris LeVert, people don't realize how good he really is.
LeVert, skies high for the jam.
Brogdon for three.
Boom, baby!
Duarte for three.
Big time shot.
Warren lets it fly.
Yes!
What's up, everybody? This is Dwayne Washington Jr., and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Ladies and gentlemen of Setting the Pace, the boys are back. I am Mike Facci, and I am joined by Alex Golden. Alex, what is happening today?
Well, Facci, I have to admit, I did get another Raspberry Lemonade Mountain Dew. I felt like Danny Granger hitting that three over the Suns with a game winner. That's how good it felt to have one of those. My only one of the week so far, but you got to spoil yourself a little bit here and there. But, yeah, I'm doing pretty well, Facci. How are you, man?
Hey, got to treat yourself. I definitely respect that. I am doing great. We have an action-packed episode today. We're going to be speaking with Dwayne Washington Jr. And then also a few other things to unpack, one of which is the recent Malcolm Brogdon podcast with Woj. Yeah. Alex, what were your thoughts on that? Always nice to see a Pacer getting some shine from the bigger media.
Yeah, so I think the reason Brogdon was really on this was to promote his what was it again that he was promoting, Facci? I already forget.
He's got a great foundation for providing clean water.
That's right. In Africa, right?
I believe so. Yep.
Yeah, because I saw plenty of Instagram posts of him overseas in Africa. I mean, Brogdon really is a great human being overall. I mean, I don't care how you feel about him as a player, but I think his giving back is just so fantastic. But he's also one of the vice presidents of the Players Association. And with Chris Paul stepping down, CJ McCollum being elected president, I think Woj wanted to have him on and kind of pick his brain on some things on that. But it was just good to hear from the president. Finally, we haven't heard from him pretty much all offseason. So great to hear from him and hear his thoughts on the hiring of Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to hear from, you know, not only Brogdon, but just like players in the offseason. You know, you always want to know like what's going on, what's like the vibe of the team right now. And I thought that Brogdon did a really good job of basically saying, hey, he's been in contact with Rick Carlisle every single week, and it sounds like they have a great relationship going on right now. But what I really loved most, Alex, is that he said that the guys all agreed to come back 2 weeks early to play some pickup. I think that is a great sign after how last season went.
No, it definitely is. I think it's a sign of maturation from this young core, a sign of, hey, I think they were going to do it last year is what he said, but they couldn't because of COVID. So I think with them being able to do it, get back, they've been off since May, so they've had some time to get that off-season groove in. But now they're going to be coming back 2 weeks early prior to training camp, really going to showcase what this team needs. And I think that's just they need a gel, they need some chemistry, and they need to build a foundation. I think one of the best things he said was the first quote, though, that he had, and he said, I thought we got the best possible coach for us. The front office did a good job in the selection. He's a winner at the highest level, championship status. He knows what style of play he wants to play, and he knows how to get guys to play together. Everybody's kept saying, what did he say about Bjorkgren? Read that comment. And you can exactly sum up what he thought about Bjorkgren last season.
Yeah, you could definitely find a little bit of cracks in some of his statements as to what he really means. And another one I thought was, this is a Brogdon quote that I found very interesting. It was in relation to needing structure for this team. He said, teams that have too much structure play like robots. Mm-hmm. And we heard how controlling Bjorkgren was last year. And then he also said teams that play too loose tend to be, you know, a bit wild out there and reckless. And at the time, I mean, hey, the Pacers really weren't playing any defense. So he talked about finding that right balance of structure. And I feel like it was one of the major knocks on Bjorkgren was that he tried to be too structured and it really didn't work. The players kind of pulled in a different direction.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. There was a lot of great things that he said in this interview with Woj. I thought it was really cool how he mentioned he was a little bit bittersweet not being with the Bucks, seeing them win, but he also said that he has no regrets coming to Indy. Thought that he was really happy for Giannis and Chris Middleton, said they worked really hard. Just really some great things he said here. But I think one of the most telling things and maybe why the Pacers felt like it was okay to run it back, and I know people hate that term, but run it back for the most part with this same core. He said, honestly, over the past 2 years, I haven't got a sense of what the team could look like. When Victor was here, he was out. Miles was injured. When Karis came back, we've had injuries to our big minute guys on this team, and it's happened at non-opportune times. It's really true. I hate to say it. It's kind of frustrating because you still feel like even with some of those guys out, this core could have done better things. But it's a good point. It's a good validation of, hey, let's at least give Carlisle a chance to see what he can do with this roster before they make a big move that could come back to bite him in the butt if they don't get the right pieces back.
That's true. The terms running it back and being a tough out are enough to make your ears bleed. We've heard enough of them. But at the same point, he's got a point, though. I mean, the point guard of our team can tell you firsthand, this team has not been able to play together fully. So they have not been able to reach their potential yet. So, you know, once again, we're going into this season just hoping for health. Brogdon's someone that I think that right now it sounds like everything is going great. He's healthy. I hope he can stay that way. I'm excited to have him come back, as well as guys like TJ Warren, Miles Turner, and everyone else that dealt with some type of injury last year. I feel like this Pacers team has something to prove. But one thing that I also thought was interesting was Brogdon agreed they needed leadership. And now there's ways to look into that might be looking into it too much, because Brogdon was, you know, initially kind of appointed as the leader of this team. But I think he means more from a team standpoint. And I feel like Rick Carlisle from day one is going to get that respect from his players as, hey, I've won a championship in this league. I know what it takes. I promise you, you know, what I'm doing, there's logic behind it.
Yeah, I think Brogdon also labeled himself as the leader of this team in that interview. So it's kind of funny. I know a lot of people are back and forth on how they feel about Brogdon. I feel like he's a good player, the best option. They could probably get a point guard. I really don't see where they can upgrade a point guard if they were to move him. I will say this. Everything he said in this interview right here was very positive, very what we've seen from Brogdon in prior seasons. When the going gets tough, that's when we find out who the real Brogdon is and what he's all about. So right now, everything's great. Imagine if he butts heads with Rick Carlisle in the middle of the season or the team starts to struggle and he starts pointing fingers at Rick Carlisle, then we can have some questions. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but I'm saying if he does, I think that'll be more telling of who Brogdon is than maybe some of the past coaches or stuff that he's said about the past coaches. But with that being said, I think Nate McMillan has openly said he learned a lot from his time in Indiana. He adjusted some of the things that he did and how he coached that Hawks team. Nate Bjorkgren was just a pretty bad coach all the way around, not even a Brogdon thing. It was just the way he handled his staff, the way he handled people. Yeah, I mean, he just did not reflect – the reflections of what was said did not look good on him. So, all in all, Focci, I'm not sure exactly how much of this was true or him just shooting the breeze, but – you can tell he seems a little bit excited to be back in Indy. He's been tweeting a little bit more. Wish Karis LeVert a happy birthday on Twitter. Said he's excited to get back. So I'm hoping that we get a rejuvenated Brogdon that can be the guy we all hoped and thought he would be when we got him in that trade in free agency just a few years ago.
I think so. I mean, it sounded just overall just very positive. I think that this team, like I mentioned before, they have something to prove. They know that they're playing with good talent. I feel like they saw Caris LeVert firsthand to know, hey, this is a guy who had just beaten cancer and then came on the court and then had a career year. So it's just like, hey, what can he do with a full year under his plate being on this team? What can a healthy TJ Warren contribute to this team? So there's a lot to be excited about. But you know what I'm also excited about, Alex? Interviewing Dwayne Washington Jr. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's take a quick break. And we come back, we are going to hear from Dwayne Washington Jr., as Fauci would say, himself, right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, everybody. We are back and we are joined by a very special guest, the one and only Dwayne Washington Jr. Dwayne, what is happening today?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate you guys having me. Super excited.
Of course, we're excited to have you on, you know, on a two-way deal. I mean, I thought that you played great in summer league. So you got the whole fan base very excited, wanting to see more. But starting off, I thought we'd kick it off by, you know, taking a step into your past. That, Dwayne, I didn't realize basketball was in your blood like it is. I mean, your father played in the NBA and overseas, and your uncle is Derek Fisher. And what was it like growing up in such a basketball family?
Yeah, man. My pops was pretty good, and my uncle was pretty damn good himself. So, for me, just I grew up like that's what I wanted to be. Like I wanted to be just like them. So I mean, nothing was forced on me. I asked for everything that I received in a sense of like my dad working with me and stuff. Like it wasn't forced, you know. My mom told me I could dribble a basketball in place before I could walk. So it was in me that just, I loved it from the get-go. And to see those two be my role models, you know, growing up, it was just, it helped me a lot. And it was a blessing that I tried not to take for granted. And I think I did a pretty good job, so.
Yeah, for sure you did. And I want to say this rookie class, there's a lot of good basketball players in this class. I think it's going to be special when we look back on it. And I know that you weren't drafted. The Pacers got you immediately after the draft was over. Can you talk about maybe some of the advantages of not being drafted in the second round and being able to pick your own team?
Yeah. You know, everybody's process is different. Of course, everybody wants to get drafted and wants to have that special moment and stuff. But like I said, everybody's process is different. It's what you make of it. For me, it was a great situation. Just, you know, I have some abilities that some teams and are in need of, and the ability to shoot the ball is one that the Pacers need, and Pacers needed with me. And you know, I feel like I bring that at a really high level, and can't wait to get around the pros and just get better every single day. Like I mean, I'm super super excited to just be able to learn every single day and grow my game like every single day. So
I thought you introduced yourself perfectly to Pacer Nation in the very first game of summer league. 23 points, 8-9 shooting, a perfect 5-for-5 from three. You mentioned shooting. It's always going to be important in this league. How much confidence did that first game give you?
You know, for me, just I went out there and took what the defense gave me. You know, I like I said, I have a really good knack for shooting the ball, and that's something I've been working on at a really high level for a long time now. And for me, it just was another game. You know, I wish I could shoot like that every single game. But obviously, you know, basketball is tough. Shooting 50% from three is great. 40 is good. So For me, just try to shoot every shot the same and make every shot. That's basically the goal. Every shot I shoot, I have the mindset it's going in. And that game, a lot of them went in. So, you know, it helped me for sure. But, you know, I approach every single game the same. And that's go kill and go try to put the ball in the rim at the highest level and compete, make winning plays. So, for me, just was an amazing opportunity. I didn't want to take it as fool's gold. Some people, it could get to their heads and stuff like that. So for me, just trying to stay positive, knowing I have a lot of work to do and I'm not even close to my potential. So, just super excited.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about summer league playing with the Pacers. This was your first summer league. What was that experience like? And a two-part question, who were some of the teammates you felt like you really connected with during summer league?
Yeah. So the summer league was great. It was the first summer league in pretty sure 2 years. So, with COVID and everything. So guys were excited to get out there. You know, summer league is usually, you know, younger guys who are trying to pave their way or guys who just got drafted and stuff like that. But as you guys saw, there was just a bunch of different kind of guys, variations of older dudes who have played in the NBA before and who have been there at the highest level and they're trying to get their stint back in there. So it was great competition for me. It was just exciting to go be able to put the Pacers jersey on. Obviously, it wasn't a real NBA game, but get the first, you know, jitters out of there just to say, hey, I got to put the uniform with the logo on it. So for me, it was just exciting, learning a lot, learning from the coaches. Our coaching staff was all on the Pacers. So it was just great to have them there and learn from them as it's their first year here too. So we're all learning together and we're all super excited. We all have a great mindset, a great approach. And I think with those two things and hard workers, only the sky is the limit. So super excited for us in this group.
You know, you mentioned 30% from three. It's all right. 40% is good. Well, Dwayne, you shot 48% from three in summer league, which is great. We know you can shoot, but what's maybe that part of your game that maybe we're sleeping on a little bit?
Yeah. So, I have the ability to make plays for others. Like if the ball's in my hands, playing the one spot, running the bird, I have the ability to find others and create shots for others as well. You know, I just haven't been able to show that as much. You know, being the shooter that I am, it's something that is more a focal point for me in my game than other aspects. There's other people who can play make and make plays and, you know, just have a different mindset going out there. Usually when I step on the floor, it's ready to shoot. And as soon as you see some daylight, let it go and shoot it with confidence. So, but just, yeah, obviously having the ball in my hand, being the one creating off the dribble and getting to the rack as well. I think utilizing how well I can shoot the ball to also get to the rack and get some more free throws is something that I've been working on. Definitely have a valuable skill there as well, just being a three-level scorer, not just a catch-and-shoot shooter, being a three-level scorer. And then just being a great teammate, man. I love basketball. This is the best job in the world. And I'm super excited to have this opportunity, and the Pacers are just blessing me with this. And I'm going to make sure that they don't regret it, and we're going to do some big things this year for sure.
Yeah, training camp is just around the corner. It's less than a month away, I believe, or right around a month. And it looks like, according to Brogdon, that some of the guys might be returning on September 13th to get some pickup games in earlier before training camp starts. Are you going to be coming in early on the 13th to work out with those guys? And maybe what are some of your goals for this upcoming training camp?
Yeah, I'll get to Indy tomorrow. I'm going to be in Indy tomorrow, and I'm going to start working out on Monday. For me, just – I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan right now. I love being home. Got to hang out with my mom and stuff. But for me, I'm just ready to get my foot in the door and knock it down. So I got a lot to prove. Nothing's guaranteed for me. So I got to go show that Dwayne Washington is here to stay. And I got to just go with my head down and gel with the guys. I can't wait to meet all the guys. Super excited for when everyone comes back. For me, just, you know, being a good teammate, being a good locker room guy is important. It creates good energy. Any bad energy will bring a team down. So for me, just, I'm excited to be there, get used to my surroundings. I got some buckets in Indy, prior to being here now. So, hopefully we can keep that going. Mm-hmm. and pretty sure we will. So now just put my head down, getting to work. Super excited.
And when you mentioned about having a lot to prove, Dwayne, I'm telling you, I know you could play the one, you could play the two. That third point guard spot, it is up for grabs right now. And everything Alex and I have read said the Pacers are looking internally to fill that spot. Now, we had Kiefer Sykes on our show the other day. I mean, what's the training camp mentality going to be like when you come in there? Because everybody wants that spot. But, hey, like you said, you're a great team guy. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about just – coming out there and putting your best foot forward.
Yeah. Man, like I said, everybody's process is different, man. You know, I love waking up every day and being able to just wake up every day and know I got a roof over my head and I get to play basketball for a living. I get to eat well. My family's healthy. You know, I'm still in contact with everybody. So for me, it's just getting better every day, like attacking the day, understanding it's all a process. But I'm gonna go take what's mine, and I feel like I deserve all that's in front of me. So I'm just gonna go earn it, go give it my all, and leave it at that. And I'm excited to go put on for Grand Rapids, Michigan, and my hometown, and the Washington family, and just the Pacers in general. So super, super excited.
Yeah, we're all excited to see what you can bring to the table. We saw a little bit of a sample size in summer league, but I have to ask. In terms of who you modeled your game after, is there a player that you looked up to that you said, I want to play like them when I get to that level? Or is it just, this is who you were, this is the thing you fell in love with in terms of your skill set?
Yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't be a smart basketball player if I didn't watch and learn from the guys ahead of me. And, you know, I wouldn't be as good as I am now if I didn't watch them. Stephen Curry was my favorite player growing up. I love watching him just find his niche and become a superstar. And now he's a Hall of Famer to be. And just love watching him grow up. So definitely would say he would be my favorite player growing up, watching him. But, you know, watching everybody, learning from guys left and right, watching as many NBA games as you can, just trying to see what guys are doing and their moves and their styles and their techniques and just putting it all into my game. One thing that I grew up having a problem with was comparing myself to others and just wondering why I didn't get this and why I didn't get that. And it built me to who I am today. It gave me nothing but work. That's the answer to everything. Put your head down, get better, and the results gonna show eventually. So when your time comes. So for me, I'm just super excited to go wear some Pacer gear, be on that NBA court and just get better. Continue my process, continue my journey, because I'm going to have one hell of a story at the end of this. And super, super excited to start it.
I'm excited to see that story unfold. One cool fact that I saw was, I believe it was your senior year, you transferred over to Sierra Canyon. I believe that's where LeBron James' son is playing currently. But you played with some notable players, Kenyon Martin Jr., Scottie Pippen Jr., and then none other than Cassius Stanley. What was it like to suit up with Cassius again, this time in summer league?
Yeah, it was super, super cool, man. You know, we always talked about it and dreamed about it. And, you know, we got one guy left who was on that championship team my senior year, who's on his way here right now, and that's Scottie Pippen Jr. And, you know, KJ's already been here. He's doing great. Cassius, you know, he's venturing off and gonna get picked up and do great things wherever he goes. Super excited for him. And yeah, man, it was a blast just being in Vegas together. You know, we had a lot of memories back in high school. So just to be, you know, quote unquote, meeting at the top is a great feeling. But also, you know, for me, 100% is not good enough. Just got to keep getting better, man. My goals and my aspirations are way, way, way past the sky. So just this isn't near the top of the pedestal for me. So I told him, just got to keep going, man, and we're going to keep grinding together until we get there. So super excited for him and what's next for him.
Absolutely. So, Dwayne, we'd like to get to know players that we bring on a little bit better. I'm curious, what are some things you like to do off the court, maybe some hobbies or interests or just like pregame meals, movies, that kind of thing? Just give us a little behind the scenes of who Dwayne Washington is.
Yeah, so My time in Columbus, I didn't do this as much as I really wanted to, so I gotta go back to Columbus every now and then, or Ohio in general. But I love to fish. Like, I love, like, largemouth bass fishing, smallmouth bass, crappie, bluegill. I love getting on the water. Just it's peaceful. It's very, very peaceful. I did a lot growing up with my dad and my grandfather in Arkansas. So for me, just I love it. I really started loving it once I in high school. Man, I used to go out there all the time, and I got pictures, got videos of me catching some hogs. So it's been fun. I know that there's some really big bass out there. So that's number one. I love fishing. Another hobby of mine, I love music. That's like music keeps me going, man. It's got me through a lot, and it's helped me through a lot of things. So I love listening to music, rap, R&B, soul, hip hop. Got a couple of country songs in there. I throw in there, shuffle maybe one time. Love food. Been eating healthier in more recent times. Gotta treat my body like a temple. So making sure everything going in is grade A1. But other than that, I love food. So gotta figure out the food spots in Indy. Couple here and there. Maybe get a cheat day here and there. So that's about it, man. Favorite movie, Space Jam.
The original, right?
The original, yeah.
It can be two. If it's two, I'm worried about
you. The original, for sure. I have a puppy. His name is Draco. It's a Cane Corso puppy. He's 7 months. Awesome. He's 100 pounds, so he's getting big.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how big he'll get. So, and that's about it.
Hey, no, I mean, it sounds like you got a lot of cool stuff going on. I know Kiefer kept it pretty short and basically said he loves some yoga and reading. I don't know if there's going to be any yoga sessions going on with the team. I know Miles Turner's really into that. But I had a question for you. You're a Michigan man. However, how torn were you between the whole Michigan and Ohio State rivalry when you chose the Buckeyes?
For me, you know, I grew up in a place where Grand Rapids, Michigan had Michigan State fans, and they also had Michigan fans. So, you know, my family wasn't necessarily diehard one or the other. They just rooted for them when they were playing against other schools. So for me, the decision wasn't in-house. It wasn't terrible, but definitely to the public, it was a lot of scrutiny and just a lot of stuff that they didn't know behind the scenes and of why the decision was made. But luckily went to the good side and got over there and did what we had to do and handled some business. And here we are, man, super, super excited and happy the way things played out. And one of the best decisions I ever made was to attend the Ohio State University. So,
yeah, Chris Holtman, great coach. I know he's a former Butler coach here in Indiana, so very familiar with him.
Love him to death.
Yeah, if you want, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Chris Holtman?
Yeah, we continue to grow every single day. Like unconditional love is real, and the way he shows it was what I needed. And you know, he just helped me become the man and the player that I am. He just was there for me when I needed him the most. And he challenged me, and you know, I love a challenge. So you know, I respect him and will always be in favor for him for sure. So super, super excited to see what the group is going to do this year. You know, I'm hoping they can go get them a little 10 championship. We talked about it and you know, I'm super excited for them. They got a great class coming in and great returning guys. So super, super excited. Going to definitely be watching all year long.
So one player that I'd love to learn a little bit more about that you got to play with in summer league, Chris Duarte, the Pacers' first round pick, 13th overall this year. What can you tell us about Duarte and his game?
Chris is a very, very polished player. Like he's really good at what he does. You know, that's the first thing I noticed is, you know, obviously everybody knew him coming out of Oregon, and he had a great year, got some great awards. And had a hell of a year. So he, You know, he got drafted 13th, and, you know, the eyes were on him, and I think he definitely performed. I think that was, you know, the goal of the Summer League was for him for him to show people, like, hey, like, this is – I'm here for a reason, and, you know, this wasn't a bad choice, quote-unquote, per se. So I'm super happy that I'm his teammate, man. I mean, he's 3 years older than me, 4 years older than me, so I get to learn a lot from him just as a human. You know, he's been here longer than I have. Just learning about him and where he's from also. And I love the fact that he used to play baseball. He was nice. So I told him that I could hit a home run off of him. And we was joking back and forth. And so we got a good relationship. I'm excited to challenge him, and he'll challenge me right back. That's the only way we're going to get better, and iron sharpens iron. So I'm going to give him my best shot, just as he's going to give me mine. And we're going to do big things. So.
Absolutely. Well, Dwayne, we want to thank you so much for your time. I think you've been a fantastic interview. I'm excited to see your journey here with the Indiana Pacers. Since you are signed to that two-way contract, we at least know we'll get to see you some with the G League if you don't make the 15-man roster. But wishing you nothing but the best. Do you have anything you want to plug before we let you go?
I just wanted to say I appreciate for, you know, the opportunity to be on the show and just ask me some questions and have Pacer Nation get to know me a little bit more. Super excited to suit up number 4 jersey, just, you know, in the state of basketball. So excited to get things rolling.
Hey, Dwayne, keep shooting the leather off that basketball and good things are going to happen. We're rooting for you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Focci, just wrapped up a great interview with Dwayne Washington. Super fun guy. Super glad he came on. Great job setting that up, man.
Hey, Dwayne was a lot of fun. I thought he really let us kind of inside as to who he is as a person, even off the court. Now, I love fishing myself, but, you know, my personal record catches, they're very small. So I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of Dwayne, who's probably caught some of the bigger ones. But, man, this guy can shoot, and I'm very excited to know, just like you said earlier, that with him on the two-way deal, we expect to see more of Dwayne Washington in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you can sign up to 2 two-way deals, so we'll at least probably see him in a Pacers uniform, whether it's with the Mad Ants or with the Pacers on that squad for at least 2 seasons. I'm hoping that he can make it. We're going to have some open roster spots in 2 years, probably when a lot of these guys that are on the roster now become free agents. So I think that there could be a way to create that space for him, especially if he can continue to develop his game. We know he's a good shooter, a little bit streaky in summer league, and that's kind of how his college career was. He'd have games like we saw that first one against, I forget who they played the first night, though. I think it was the Knicks when he went off, yep. Right? Yeah, so He went off for like 8 of 9, like you said, Flash, like just unbelievable. And then there were some other games where he maybe not shot the ball as well. And I think that that's the law of averages, right? So I'm excited to see him, though. I think there's other ways he can improve his game. He's a young player. He's got plenty of time to grow, and we're excited to see that. And he was super humble and grateful to be on the podcast, so that always makes you feel better. Give Pacer fans an opportunity to get to know him better. That was what he really wanted by coming on. So major props to Dwayne Washington Jr.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to stir the pot or start some beef between him and Kiefer Sykes, but, man, it's going to be a battle And those.
Oh,
two,
you were trying. You were trying.
I threw a little water and saw if anything was going to grow or not. But at the same point, those two, they can really shoot the ball. So I think that training camp is going to be a very interesting one. You know, that third point guard spot, it's up for grabs right now. And I do feel like those two guys are going to be in strong consideration.
Yeah, and the guy they signed on Monday, I believe, as well. Right? Was it Monday when they signed?
It was Monday, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what was his name again?
Dejan Giroux.
That's right. I always forget how to say his name, so that's why I didn't want to butcher it. And that's why I'm going to let you do it from now on, because I always mess it up. But anyway, Dejan Giroux, there we go, Fauci. He is going to be at Pacers training camp as well, competing for that third point guard spot. But we'll see what happens. I put a tweet out today, Fauci. Who do you think the Pacers should build around as, in quotations, the guy? I listed Caris LeVert, TJ Warren, Domas Sabonis, or other as the options. And as of right now, 514 votes are in. 50% of the listeners have said Caris LeVert. Fauci, would you agree with the listeners?
I was one of them. I went with it. I picked LeVert, you know, fresh off a birthday. No, I'm just kidding. You know, that would have been the most minimal birthday gift you could ever give someone, a simple vote on a tweet. I thought to myself, you know what, LeVert, he's really just scratching the surface. I really do think that if you let him handle the ball more, I think that he can make a lot of plays. I think we have not seen the best of Caris LeVert. I am hoping 100% that TJ Warren returns to what he was. It doesn't have to be how he was in the bubble, but it's like, can he just be vintage Warren? Mm-hmm. And then Sabonis, I think we've seen that Sabonis is a very good player, but you might not want everything to really go through him if you're trying to, you know, win as many games as possible.
Yeah, no. So here's how I see it. It's really hard because I don't think this question, to me, I don't think there is a guy on the roster, to be honest with you, as the guy. Out of the three names listed, I could see why you make a case for Caris LeVert. I could see a case why you make a case for Domantas Sabonis after having two All-Star appearances.
Yep.
And if TJ Warren can stay healthy, he plays a position that is one of the most important in the NBA. If he can continue to develop on defense, I think that he makes a strong case. I really don't think it should be a landslide for Caris as 50%. I think he might be the lead vote getter, clearly, by a lot of fans out of this group. But the reason I would probably vote other is because I feel like these are all B-level players, and that's not to be, you know, knocking on them, but if I wanted, you know, a guy that's an A-level player, like a Giannis, something like that, I mean, if I'm saying, okay, Caris LeVert is my best player compared to the Bucks who have a Giannis, or even somebody like, let's just say, the Miami Heat who have a Jimmy Butler, is Caris LeVert as good as those players? I don't know yet, Fauci. I don't know. I still think that there's potential for him to get better, but if you're not an A-level player, I don't know how you can be the guy.
Exactly. Look, we don't have a superstar. We have the ability to have five guys that can get you near 20 a game. That's what we have. I mean, it's like,
it sounds. Why'd you say it like that?
Because it's like we hear these same phrases all the time. We know what it is. We might be a tough out. No, we're tired of that. We want a superstar, but we don't have one yet. But you know what? LeVert, he's young enough where I feel like he's really coming into his prime. I think that he can get better. A healthy TJ Warren, I think he can get better. We saw Brogdon and Sabonis take their games to the next level in many different departments. I think Miles Turner got better. This is a team that, you know, Brogdon summed them up as young veterans. And I think that they're entering a good point in their career where, you know, you can make an argument. All these guys might be entering their prime at the exact same time. And for that, I think that that's how the Pacers are going to roll. Five guys deep that any night, it could be one of their nights, but it might not be the same guy's night every night.
Absolutely. I think some of the comments on here do kind of reflect what I was saying. All Robins, no Batmans, which I hate that terminology, but it is what it is. It's a good way to use it, I guess you could say. But, you know, Sabonis might be the best player at the moment. I know Zach Noble, our friend there, did put that. But it's tough. So, anyway, we can go on that and talk about that another day. I was just curious to see what fans thought or who they would like. But the votes right now, the voting is not over. But right now, Caris LeVert, 50%. Domas, 34%. Other was 11%. And TJ Warren came in with just 5%. So I was surprised to see Warren a little bit lower. But I think out of sight, out of mind, because he didn't play all of last season.
Exactly. How quick everyone could be to forget. You know, all it'll take is TJ Warren on night one dropping 25 to be like, whoa, you know, this he's back.
If this was post-bubble, he would be leading the votes right now.
No doubt. So I really hope we get to see, you know, the return of Bubble Warren just on a nightly basis because, man, that was such a fun time. But just to go back to a comment that you made before, a team full of Robins sounds horrible. I mean, oh, my God.
Rockin' Robin, baby.
Such a backhanded compliment because usually a Robin, like, hey, he's your sidekick, you're that. It just sounds like you're so below the top option. But these are guys that can flat out play good basketball, and I'm excited to see what we have this year. So, yeah, we don't have a Batman, but you know what? Not every team does.
No, they don't, but I think we can be competitive, and Rick Carlisle might be our Batman coach. So, let's just put it there, Fauci. We'll end this conversation and we'll wrap it up. Where can the people find us on social media?
You can find us on Twitter at SettingThePace3. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. You can find me on Twitter at _FACCI. And you can find us on Instagram at PacersTalk.
You know, I got to break you out of your ritual of doing that because we have a Facebook page too. Don't forget about that.
We have a TikTok.
At what?
I don't know. I can't remember it.
At Setting the Pace. It's that easy.
Okay. Well, that is easy, and I'll incorporate that next time. But I know if I start going down the list, I got about 6 or 7 shout-outs towards the end. The long list.
It is. I just laugh. I'll be there to help you out and assist you like we always do for each other. But if you haven't already, make sure you follow us on Apple Podcasts. Yes, they've got rid of subscriptions. It's now following the show. I want to thank everybody that's given us a rating and review. We have reached 100 reviews, so... Woo. Positive or negative, thank you so much for giving us feedback. We want to make this show better for you. Fauci, if you are a fan of Dwayne Washington Jr. and hope that you get to see him in a Pacers uniform for at least a few games this season, say these three words.
Let's go Pacers!
After pushing the Bulls to 7 games in last year's Eastern Conference Finals, the Pacers have returned as a battle-tested team. Now, one of Indiana's most vocal leaders is 12-year veteran Mark Mainman Action Jackson.
Here comes Jackson. Straight up the middle, the lob to the rack, and David lays it in.
Now it's 2-on-1. Jackson to Reggie Miller.
How about that? Open, open, open. Hey, hey, hey. Good finish, Mark. Zip it down.
A true leader is an extension of the coach on the floor. When you're the point guard and a leader, you have to put the ball in the right hands. You have to call the right plays. And when you have the cast that I have of guys that can flat out play the game and finish, it makes my job so easy.
While everybody else is at home, finished practice, relaxing in their bed, the turtle sneaks up on the rabbits, and that's me.
I don't have the gift of speed. A lot of other things, athletic ability as much as other guys, but one thing I do have is the ability to see the floor.
Oh, what a pass by Jackson. Oh, yeah. What a great pass from Mark Jackson.
You always have to be ready because if you're not, you know, the ball might hit you in the head.
Oh, me, oh, my. Mark Jackson right down the throat.
The guy's fifth all time. Assist, man. That's incredible.
Now the Bucks come back with a chance to tie or get with it too, and Jackson picked his pocket. Oh, to Reggie!
And we get a look at the Jackson dribble.
While I'm on the floor for those 48 minutes, I'm having a ball. I'm having a great time and doing the Jackson jiggle and yelling and screaming and doing different things. It's just my way of showing my enthusiasm for the game, my love for the game, and how much I appreciate being in the position I'm in.
I've been on a bunch of teams, but no team have I ever been on has been as close as this basketball team.
Action Jackson, look at it.
The way that this team works, the camaraderie that this team has, it's no accident that when you step on the floor, you're all one.
Antonio boards to Jalen, open floor with Jackson. He's in the lane, he leaves it for the trailer, and the big fella slams it.
The Pacers right now look great.
When I think about the opportunity to win a championship, this is the best place to be. This is perfect.